Shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. I think this is going to work. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I hope you have your book of Yahweh or something to take notes with. Everything is looking great right now. Everything's looking great in the world, too, I guess you notice. I hope you're keeping up on the news. One thing that you may not be expecting, and you might want to make a little effort to prepare, is this article. It shows what I brought you, been bringing for years, that it was going to take place at this time, is the food shortage. And there's the scramble for food, it says, companies a warning of crisis to come. You don't get this much from the news because people work to make money out of food. And of course, they don't want to put people in a, they don't want to scare people. They don't want to tell the truth either to people. So they hide things in order to make money. But this thing is creeping up on everyone, and this article shows it. It's called Scramble for Food Companies, a Warning of Crisis to Come. And, of course, they show that it's here right now, and the price of food is increasing, as if you've been to a store lately to see it, is certainly increasing. I won't read that, but it's quite lengthy, but you can get it, or we'll get you a copy of it if you're interested. The other news, of course, is about this is about global food shortage, too. Fears as Russia extends wheat ban. Israeli President and Pope. Israeli President, Pope, meet, express hopes of Middle East peace. Deal. Now, all week, you know, this is what the talk was about on the foreign channels, especially the foreign channels. There wasn't much here in America on the world news, but on the foreign channels, they had this going all day long, I was told. But now this, I'll read you just a little bit of this. Pope Benedict and Israeli President Shimon Peres meet in a private audience, and of course you don't get much of what they say. But then the very next thing we read here is, after this meeting took place, a 180-degree shift in PA attitude following talk launch. Following talk's launch. It says, on Friday, President Shimon Peres, after he met with the Pope, also said newly launched peace talks with the Palestinians had a promising start, speaking to reporters at an economic conference in Italy. The quartet is in this, too. This is what you can look for, because this is what the Scripture shows. It shows this quartet in fact, it's given authority. It's given authority to bring this about. But these deals, they say, is capable of bringing lasting peace to the Holy Land and the entire region, the Vatican said. The entire region. Now, if you saw Netanyahu's talk when he was talking directly to the audience, but also with Barack Obama, he said he was so thankful that the United States was shepherding this to bring about peace, lasting peace, to Israel and the surrounding neighbors. And then he turns to Barack Obama and said, and the entire world, just like that, and the entire world. And I said, praise Yahweh at last. Praise Yahweh. Every station had this. It says the Hebrew word peace, shalom. Our goal is shalom. Our goal is to forge a secure and durable peace between Israel and the Palestinians. It says we seek a peace that will last for generations, our generation, our children's generation, and the next. Now a lasting peace is peace between peoples, between Israel and the Palestinians. We must learn to live together, to live next to one another, and with one another. But every peace begins with leaders. He says, the quartet, tonight I'm pleased to welcome the White House key partners in this effort, along with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the representative of our quartet partners from Prime Minister Tony Blair. So rest assured, the quartet is the one that has the authority, and they're the ones that's pushing to bring this about. President Mubarak of Egypt says, like you, and the millions of Palestinians, Israelis, Arabs, and the rest of the world, I look forward that these negotiations be final and decisive, and they lead to a peace agreement within a year. Within a year. Now, I told you that the 2010 and 2011 was that as far as the hidden codes show, 2010, 2011. Of course, we began 2011 on the Day of Atonement. So not in January, but on the Day of Atonement. So that moves it up even more. The United States will shepherd these negotiations seriously and at the high level. Let's see. He says, but we know that the status quo is unsustainable for Israelis and Palestinians, for the region, and for the world. It is in the nation's interest of all involved, including the United States, that this conflict be brought to a peaceful conclusion. Neither success nor failure is inevitable. This is Barack Obama here, I think, is speaking. But this much we know. If we do not make the attempt, then failure is guaranteed. If both sides do not commit to these talks in earnest, then the long-standing conflict will only continue to fester and consume another generation. If all sides persevere in good faith and with a sense of purpose and possibility, we can build a just, lasting, comprehensive peace in the Middle East. This one, remarks of President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel after the meeting. He says, but I want everybody to be clear. They had some terrorist actions, and he talked of this, and then he says, I want everybody to be very clear. The United States is going to be unwavering in its support of Israel's security, and we are going to push back against these kinds of terrorist activities. And so the message should go out to Hamas and everybody else who is taking credit for these heinous crimes, that this is not going to stop us from not only ensuring a secure Israel, but also securing a long-lasting peace in which people throughout the region can take different courses. Remember what 2 Thessalonians said now. 2 Thessalonians. Now, that's going on in the world. We know that it's coming to the end, as Yahweh shows. We know, I want to get back into Revelations, the sixth chapter and the quartet, and I'm writing about it right now, but Yahweh willing, we'll be able to get back into it in maybe by the feast anyway. If we hurry on this lesson that I want to start on here today, and you be turning back to Genesis, the first chapter, if we hurry, I think we can finish this by feast. And let me start your thinking here. I know that people think, you know, they read something and then they think they know all about it, you know. It doesn't work that easily. People read the fourth commandment and they think, okay, they know it all. They have no idea what they're getting into, or, you know, without the lessons. If you think of Moshe, he was raised with a somewhat of biblical background because he had the information written at Abel at his disposal. He had the information written by Abraham at his disposal. Abraham kept my laws, statutes, and judgments. That means he knew what the statutes were. He knew what the ordinances were. He knew what the judgments were. You know, he knew these things. He didn't just know a bunch of laws, but he knew everything else that went with those laws to govern the laws. And I think this is where I've fallen short, because I haven't pushed the statutes and the ordinances, the judgments, like I should have. I've talked about them continually, but I don't say, you know, these are what this is a statute that's governing this law. I've never specifically pointed those things out each time I would mention them. The one thing that we can rest assured on is the foundation. We have the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. And then with Yeshua, the chief cornerstone that is guiding his house, holding his house, or guiding his donkeys in these last days, the donkey's colts, fastening them to the one sent. He's the one doing this. Of course, Yeshua lost a lot of people, you know. You can't teach a rebellious person. Sometimes you think you're getting through to them, and then they turn again in rebellion because they can't give up. As Yeshua said, their feelings, the root of bitterness, as the apostle said, and so forth. So they hang on to that, and it blocks the mind. And when the Hebrews that was brought out of the land of Egypt, you know, many of them had a rebellious attitude towards the leaders that Yahweh sent to them, that Yahweh gave them. They had a rebellious attitude, and they let other things develop that they got their minds on that, and it started clouding their interest to becoming righteous. Salvation is not hunting ways to make money. Salvation is overcoming. And as Yeshua said, you know, what would you gain? You know, if you gain the whole world and you lose your life, what has this brought you? But the schools of higher learning now, they brought in this other stuff. And of course, the Pharisees, or the elders before they were called Pharisees, the elders were first called elders in the days of Samuel. Samuel was a very righteous guide, proven that Yahweh was with him, guiding him. They came to Samuel. This is in 1 Samuel 8 and verses 1 through 9. They came to Samuel and rejected him, saying, "We don't want you as our leader anymore. We want a king over us to fight our battles, to go before us and fight our battles." intending to fight battles. This was their purpose, not the peaceful solution. I would I could tell you what's going on now with Barack Obama and Netanyahu. I can't right now, but it's going to be a very great blessing to you when you find out what is going on. But the whole thing in salvation is to find that peace, the peaceful solution to getting along, tolerating each other, loving each other. Now, not just toleration, but love. And of course, if you don't practice these laws of love, which the Sabbath is the top law of love, the seventh day Sabbath, that tops it all for teaching love to one another and learning to love one another. As you sit here listening to me talk, I hope I don't get you riled up too much that you can't enjoy the great dinner that Yahweh has blessed us with here in the Garden of Eden, the great Garden of Yahweh. But now Moshe, he was raised with this with a great background of the Holy Scriptures that was written at that time, and there was a lot more written than you can comprehend. And as the apostles talk about it, and as you go back with me, I'll show you what I'm talking about. But it all ties together then, and we have the apostles then that worked directly with Yahshua and was trained by them. Took him several years to train them, and they were brought up in it themselves. Very righteous men. Their fathers and mothers very righteous. Less sins than what you've had. When you came here, if you'll just search your life, you knew nothing. You know, you might have known that the seventh day was the Sabbath. That's what one of the priests of Yahweh, a great priest of Yahweh right now in the house of Yahweh, he knew that the seventh day was the Sabbath. And he didn't know how to keep the Sabbath. And when he was asked that, he was embarrassed. But he knew that. He knew that much. And that's about the extent of the knowledge of the Scriptures that I see in people when they first come here, and I think, man, is there any way to bring them up to date, you know, because it takes so long to get this in their minds. And the reason I wanted you to have your book of Yahweh so you could study this with me, I'm going to go back to the Sabbath and show you what you've been missing here on the Sabbath day and show you that how it's the top lesson for you and to love your brother as yourself, and that's what you've got to do. We're not seeking money or wealth or anything like that here. We're seeking how to come out of the world, be separate, as Yahweh tells us to do. We're seeking how to love one another as ourselves. One another. And yes. And as Yahshua showed, that's from the greatest, what we consider the greatest, which is yourself, right? Even to the least. Yes, love yourself too, but you got to love the least, which is me, as much as yourself. Or maybe more in order to get by this rock that you got to climb over here, which is pride and hypocrisy. A false attitude, a false mouth, gossip, and so forth. You go back here to Genesis 1, and Yahweh says here, this sets the stage for why he made man. Because he built the earth, he created the earth, and then he allowed it to become inhabited. And we see the misery that is spoken of right here. We can see it scientifically. We can see it displayed, and how the beings that inhabited the earth, and it says it became darkness. That's ignorance, led into false doctrine, and then in destruction and death, misery, wickedness, sorrow of all kinds here upon the earth, until it was finally wiped out, and then Yahweh says, I'm going to make man in my image. Well, of course, he did this for a purpose. I wanted to bring something to your attention. I don't have all the information here in front of me, but maybe I can call it to your attention and my memory will bring back some of it. Mars, last week I told you, I think it was the 24th, and I told you that it was my birthday. And on that day, the astronomer said that Mars came the closest to the Earth that it had been in over 800 years. Mars. Now, Mars is the war god. And on my birthday, it came, that was the day that it was the closest to Earth. Now, just before that, Jupiter got hit. And I thought, well, why would that take place? And, of course, the scientists that saw this, they were amazed, too, that Jupiter got hit again. And I said, something is going on. You know, Satan has some plans to team up with Mars and the war god. The last time it was brought to my attention that the last time Mars got close to Earth, we were planning on teaching taking the character education program to three nations, had it all set up to do so, to teach all three nations and all their teachers and the ministers of education had it set up to where we were going to do that. And then Mars came close to Earth and the war was started with Afghanistan, which shut that down, shut our plans down. Well, it wasn't in Yahweh's plan or it wouldn't have been shut down. And I could see why now, because if this had spread too soon, then the times of the Gentiles, the strangers, the strange nations, I'm not saying now that these are another race, they're just heathen like everybody till they come to the house of Yahweh, but these times of these heathen and their activities would not be fulfilled. So Yahweh could not prove the point that he wants to prove. In the world, he's proving a point that you can't live without his laws and live in peace. In the house of Yahweh, he's proving a point that you can live in peace using the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. That's what he's proving here. If you will apply it. If you don't apply the peaceful solution, if you don't learn it and apply it in your life, it won't work for you. It didn't work for Cain, and he had it. Yahweh taught it to him. But it worked for Abel, and it worked for Abel's followers, and that's what Moshe took with him. And, of course, the background that he had, you know, it was still, he had to bring Moshe back to the house of Yahweh and teach him for like 30 years. To ever get this into his being, into his character. So it's not an easy thing. You can't just read, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and it's the seventh day of the week and know everything about the Sabbath. It's much more difficult than that to get to the bottom of. You can learn to partially keep the law, but you've got to be brought, as Moshe was, to the burning bush, to the house of Yahweh, the burning bush that never burns up, that's always on fire, with the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit Holy of Yahweh, always on fire with it. A fiery tongue, a fiery two-edged sword. That's what the house of Yahweh is. And to teach him this. Well, when he got through with him finally, he was a very humble man. And so humble that he didn't even think he could do the job now. So pride wasn't there. But he finally saw how difficult this job was that he was going to have to do. And he said, there's no way I can do that. And Yahweh says, yes, there is. You know, I'll give you the credit and I'll do the work. How will that be? Well, I thought about that the other day and I said, we need to make some signs that says, you know, Yahweh does great things, but he allows mankind to boast of it. Well, that's what Moshe did this, Moshe did that, when it was actually Yahweh doing it all along. And of course, when the people turned against Moshe, you know, we have the same things going on here in a lesser way because we have less people. After you become converted and Yahweh brings in the crowds, you will see what I've put up with for over 40 years in the wilderness trying to bring you about. To the peaceful solution. Every move that Moshe made, he got opposition, you know. Well, that's not of Yahweh. I'm not going to do that. You know, that's not of Yahweh. You're not going to guard the house of Yahweh. Surely that's not of Yahweh. You think, well, how much do they need? You know, where do I start to get the needs? I can't repeat the whole history of what took place with Israel to let you know that, you know, yes, they did thousands of different things to guard Yahweh's house. Had they not, it would have been destroyed. And Yahweh shows the many different things that they did to guard it. But these things come out of the mouth without being, you know, thought about. And that's what the peaceful solution, the first thing it does is teach you to stop. Stop. Take time to think. Now, this may take you a week or 2 weeks, but don't let your mouth overload. You know, watch your language. Watch what you say. You don't have to say things right now, even if you think them. Go back and think it over. Ask Yahweh to send you a dream or two. Ask him to show you scriptures. Let you understand what took place back here. And maybe you won't be making so many mistakes up here that you're going to be judged for. Yeshua told you, you're going to be judged by them stupid words that come out of your mouth. And you'll be condemned by them unless you repent. Well, here now we see that Yahweh allowed this. I was going to tell you about Mars 800 years ago. Think about this, 800 years ago. I said, what was taking place 800 years ago? That would have been 1210. 1210. The Crusades were at their highest rate right then. And that was when Mars was almost as close as it was this time. It got closer this time than it did 829 years, I believe, or 823 years ago. But the Crusades were horrible. They were trying to kill off all the believers. The popes were trying to kill off all the believers that kept transferring the word from mouth to mouth that Yahshua has come. He's teaching the laws of Yahweh. He's teaching how to keep the Sabbath correctly. And many people were following his examples and from what the apostles taught them. Because a lot is taught by the apostles that we're not grasping. We read over it like a story, but we're not grasping what they say. And that's the reason I want to get into it deeply. And I haven't wasted it. I've tuned you in for it. But 1210. Now, if you think about it, that's also over 200 years before America was discovered. Think about that. America wasn't discovered until 1492, and we're talking about 1210, and the Pope's trying to kill all the followers of the disciples and Yahshua at that time. 1210, before America was discovered. Then America was discovered 1492. It took them several years to even get some colonies going, and Britain was trying to take all the wealth back to Britain. And of course, they had what they called the British American War, and that was fought with wagons and mules and teams of horses, and I think they had what they called the cannonball pistol or cannonball rifle at that time. I'm not sure, but I think they did. That's all they had to fight with. Cannonballs. Now that was just a few hundred years ago that I'm talking here. This is to get you to understand, you know, how long man has been here and the proving time, because some people don't even believe there was a creation. Some people here are teaching that. But if you'll just think of what is taking place and the history, a little bit of history before this. And then came the Civil War among the Americans, over slavery. And then that was fought the same way. They used a few bows and arrows, but mostly it was cannonball rifles. The independence America just got through celebrating, that took place, I believe, in 1776 was the time that America won its independence. Now, this was about 300 years after America was established, and that is after it was discovered. So you see just a short time there how we multiplied here. Then we won our independence from Great Britain, and then after that came the Civil War, and we were still fighting with cannonball pistols. And I believe that was in 1818 something. My mind's not giving me the dates right now, but I think it was in 1800. And then in my lifetime now, which is just 100 years later, 150 years later, 1934, there was a covered wagon sitting at the side of the Canadian bridge, and I was born. And I was named from the bowels of my mother, which meant a child from my mother had to name me. That's the prophecy written about me. A one-year-old child. I remember him well. I grew up with him. And when I thought about changing my name, or when I decided to, I told my brother who was living in Israel, I wrote him a letter, told him that I was going to change my name, and he wrote back to me and he said, "You might remember that a one-year-old child named you," meaning it was a miraculous thing, a miracle. But he named me. Plainly, from the bowels of my mother, he named me. Yahweh will prove that to you one day, but when my sister-in-law was still alive, she remembered it. My brother definitely remembered it. Other people saw the letter that came from Jacob. They remember this. I think they're writing a book on me now. I don't know if they'll ever get it written or not. I think they'll be knocking on the door wanting to get back into safety here pretty soon. But then that was in 1934. 1800s now was when they were still fighting with cannonball pistols. But the scripture says that they're going to have power in my lifetime. Now, think about it. 100 years ago, and they were fighting with cannonball pistols, or a little over 100 years ago. But Yahweh says, in my lifetime, they'll have power to darken the sun, to cause the earth to sink in, to reel to back and forth, to and fro, and sink like a hut. All of that is taking place in my lifetime. All of that was developed in my lifetime to where we have means to do exactly what is broadcast, what is forecast by the prophets of the horror that is going to take place here that you couldn't imagine back then. When I was a child and reading about the burning that was going to take place, I used to question that. I remember at 7 years old, I was questioning my mother and dad about a burning. How would the earth burn? I said, you know, it'd be impossible. We have fires, I said. How would the whole earth burn? Well, of course, we know it now at the end of my days. But I just want you to know I was inquiring back then about this thing that is taking place now. Praise Yahweh. That had to be led, you know. Very few people ponder the Holy Scriptures at that age. But so I've had a lifetime before Yahweh sent me here, made it possible for me to teach you. Okay, here now he shows how the earth became darkness. That means much evil, much deception. And this was no surprise to Yahweh. He knew this. And then in chapter 1 and verse 26, he says, we see the plan that Yahweh has here revealed to us. This is in the beginning now. Remember those words, the beginning. In the beginning. That's the reason the book was named Genesis. It means in the beginning. But verse 26, Yahweh shows his plan to make man in his image. Make man in his image, after his likeness. That's his plan. If you go over now to that's the foundation of the prophets. A part of the foundation of the prophets. Go over now to Yochanan 1 and verse 1, and you'll see in the beginning, the apostles add this to this. In the beginning was the plan of Yahweh. Well, we just saw it. I'm going to make man in my image. After he shows you what took place with the earth, then he says, I'm going to make mankind, but I'm going to make him in my image. In the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. The same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were done according to it, according to this plan, and without it, nothing was done that was done. So we know that none of this took place without Yahweh's permission. Now, if you'll think of this plan and what he's doing, he's allowing the whole earth to go and do whatever they want to do, doing whatever is pleasing in their own sight. He's allowing that to the earth. Look at Deuteronomy 12. Turn over. Hold your place right there. We're coming back to it. But look at, turn over to Deuteronomy 12 and let me put this in your mind quickly. Verse 3, you must destroy their altars, that's the altars of the gods, break down their sacred pillars. That's not for us to do right now with force, but it's for us to do in this time period in revealing the man of sin with words, as Yahshua did with words. Their sacred poles, cut down their images of their gods, and wipe out their names from those places. He's speaking to a people he's calling and telling them to go train for a job. You must not worship Yahweh, your father, in such ways. Such ways, Yahweh, your father, is not a god, but you are to seek the habitation of your father, Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh, your father, chooses out of all the tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. You must bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices. Verse 7, there in front of Yahweh, your father, you and your families shall eat and you shall rejoice. That is, learn to rejoice. This is one thing that you have, that you're learning, that the world does not have. They think gaiety. In fact, people seek gaiety. The Catholic Church bought all the world's fairs, history says. When they first got started, the Catholic Church bought them because they saw the energy that they created because they took men out of reality and gave him a falsehood of joy or rejoicing. That is not true joy. You don't find it in the world. And Yahweh says, come to my house and I'll teach you how to rejoice. You know, it's done, praise Yahweh, it's done with, starts with the Sabbath day. Of all things, that's where it starts, the learning to rejoice. But your family shall eat and you shall rejoice, or learn to rejoice, in all that you have put your hand to do, because Yahweh your Father has blessed you. You must not, notice this closely now, verse 8, you must not at all do as you're doing here, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. Now, Yahweh is allowing by his plan, go back to Yochanan 1:3, Yahweh is allowing by his plan for the whole world to do what is right in their own eyes. But he doesn't allow you. He tells you, come out from them. Don't do what they're doing. Don't do what is right in your own eyes. Go to this place and we'll teach you how to rejoice. The very first step to rejoicing is going before Yahweh to learn. Learning to rejoice. That's the first thing he taught too in Genesis. But here he says, all things were done according to it. So he's allowing this to take place. At the same time, he's pulling you, as he pulled the prophets out, including Moshe, Abel, and so forth, Abraham, all of them, as he pulled them out and taught them how to actually rejoice, he allowed the world to seek Satan. Where have you been? Oh, just back and forth. Traveling to and fro throughout the earth. Well, what are you hunting? I don't know. Let's go down to Grandma's house. Oh, man, I can't wait till I can get away from here. How long do we have to stay here anyway? Well, that's the attitude of the world. Now, this is in the plan. So we see the plan now coincides with Genesis 1:26. I'll make man in my image. Well, how's he doing it? He's doing it. Everything teaches you what he's doing here, and that he's allowing this everything to take place for that purpose of making you into his image. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 2, and notice verse 20 here now. 2 and verse 20. He says, and here we see, we know about the foundation of the prophets back here. They gave us the laws, the prophets, and the kings. The history of the kings shows us the mistakes that you don't want to make if you want to find joy in life. You certainly don't want to follow after the ways of the kings. The ways of the kings is what's bringing what we're seeing now in preparation for war. And Thessalonians says, when they think they have peace, then comes the sudden destruction. But we also know behind this sudden destruction, we know that after a third part of man is killed around the great river Euphrates, by this nuclear activity, by famine, and by disease epidemics, then comes about four-fifths of the total population of the earth. And we will have somewhere around 2 billion people left of the quartet. Of the quartet, Yahweh shows. And that's when the quartet actually repents. The quartet will actually repent and turn to Yahweh. What is left? Well, here he says now in verse 20, Ephesians 2, verse 20, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The foundation of the apostles and prophets. In fact, we, brethren, today, in all the pulls that we have against us, and we have many, you know, more than any other generation before us, we have more temptation, we have more diseases. I didn't bring the article with me, but I hope to bring it sometime before the feast. But AIDS, they have discovered now how AIDS this horrible disease actually hides in the brain, can hide in the brain of a person. And of course, this the scripture shows that you're having, you know, confusion in the world right now. It's worse now than ever before. But that's what we're facing today. Many people come here with diseases, and we start trying to get rid of these immediately to help the person to think. And people grow, and they're judged, of course, by how much they can submit to Yahweh's house and overcome with what they have to work with. Well, we're built on this foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Yahshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, of course, a Savior had to come. A Savior was prophesied back in the beginning. Look at verse 19. Therefore, now you are no longer heathen. Some translate that Gentile. Some put it strangers. But it's a heathen. Heathen is one who doesn't know Yahweh. They're cut off from the promises of Yahweh. Israel, the ones who left Israel. Isaiah said, your sins have cut you off from Yahweh. Well, of course, then their foolish minds were darkened, Yahweh said, because they didn't want to retain Yahweh in their knowledge. They didn't want to retain him. We have a great example of that in Samuel, where they came to Samuel and they said, we don't like what you're doing here. We're going to go home and keep the Sabbath. Well, they cut themselves off from Yahweh. We're going to go down the road here, a bunch of us, and we got some booze down there anyway. And they don't allow us to drink here in the house. So we'll go down there. We'll enjoy the Sabbath. We'll get loopity-loop, you know. Well, of course, that's not rejoicing either, you know. And what is rejoicing is actually having righteous fellowship with your brothers. Yes, with your family, with your wife, with your children. And you'll learn to do that successfully. The world doesn't do that. They bicker. They hate. They have violence, envy, hatred, jealousy, and so forth. They've gone all this way for 6,000 years, and Yahweh has allowed them to do what is pleasing in their own eyes. And that's all. And they've never improved a bit. In fact, they've got worse. Now it's in the brain so bad that that their minds are so confused. You know, it's like a daze. They're in a daze all the time. Like they've just got through smoking a marijuana cigarette, and all is well. You know, therefore, now you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the house of Yahweh. And you're built upon this foundation of the prophets and apostles, with Yahshua, your teacher, the one that's guiding and pulling the donkey's colts and fitting them all together, tied to the branch that's tied to Yahshua, who is tied to Yahweh. And that's it in a nutshell. In whom the whole house, if you're not part of it, you're not of the house. So the whole house, it can't be any other way. It's not shown any other way. You can't do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Otherwise, if you could, there would be no need for the house of Yahweh being established in the first place. In whom the whole house being fitly joined together, notice that's what Yahshua is doing, into the holy house of Yahweh. And in him, that is, Yahshua, you are also being built together to become the house of Yahweh through this Spirit. Remember what the Spirit is. Yochanan 6:63, the laws of Yahweh, the laws that I speak to you. Turn over there. Yochanan. Yochanan 6, and read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. 6:63. This is the Spirit that gives life. It is the Spirit that gives life. Well, what is the Spirit? The flesh is useless, he said. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit if you keep them. They are the spirit that Yahweh wants in his people, building you to where you can find joy, not bickering. One of the things that was said by Netanyahu the other day was also told to me by a man who was running for prime minister in Israel. And he said, I've never been taught peace. He said, I've learned war and fighting. Well, Netanyahu said the other day, I have never pushed for peace. I've always pushed for objections. I've always brought forth objections. But he said, I'm not here to bring forth objections today. I'm here to bring peace, he said. Well, he says, the laws that I speak, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. Now, that's the foundation of Yahshua. That's what he taught. And his practice is given to us as the chief cornerstone to which everything is tied together. Let's go to 2 Timothy now, and we'll get this scripture in your mind. 2 Timothy, before we go back to the Sabbath day again. 2 Timothy 2, notice verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh, that's the concrete right there you're standing on. Well, that's what we think of when we think of a foundation. But that's not the foundation that I want you to understand here today. The foundation of Yahweh is not this concrete building that the building stands on. Nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh stands sure. Don't think that it doesn't now. It's sure. It will not be moved. It will never be moved. The word sure means it's steadfast forever. Having this seal, the seal, Isaiah, the foundation of the prophet said, seal my disciples with the laws and the prophecies. And if they don't have this, it's because they have no understanding at all. Having this seal, Yahweh knows those who are his. How does he know them? He's got a sign. Yes, he has signs in your face, in your hands. And he knows when you perform this. He can look at your hand. A palm reader can look at your hand and tell you whether or not you're believing what they say or not. Just by looking at your hand. And they can tell you, you don't believe me. I can see that you don't believe me. But I can see that certain things are taking place in your life. Yahweh can do the same thing. Also the face. I've brought this out before. This is shown in the scriptures themselves. Yahweh knows those who are his because everyone who reverences Yahweh, it shows in their face, it shows in the holy hands that they, supposedly holy hands that they lift up, reverences the name of Yahweh. Notice it's the name of Yahweh. Well, of course, the deceivers of the world, of which you don't want to follow this, but they took that out. They took the name of Yahweh out and put the name God there. Satan said in the beginning that Yahweh shows you, the foundation of Yahweh, in the beginning he shows you that Satan said, you'll be like the gods if you do this. But if you'll reverence the name of Yahweh, then you will be made in Yahweh's likeness and in his image. Well, they depart, it says, from iniquity. Iniquity is doing away with Yahweh's laws, pushing it aside, not to follow it. The foundation of Yahweh. So the foundation of Yahweh, you see what it is. That's the foundation. We're going to learn much more about that foundation. Let's turn over to a second Yochanan. I just cover just a couple of more scriptures here. But in 2 Yochanan, I want you to get this in your mind and be thinking on it. Be thinking on it before next Sabbath. 2 Yochanan, and look at 1 verse 4. It says, I greatly rejoice that I found some of your children walking in truth according to the laws. You know, the King James Version, they couldn't change this. You know, it was so plain they couldn't get out of it. They changed it a little, enough to throw people off, but not they couldn't. This is one they just couldn't work with, the commentator said. According to the laws, says walking in truth, according to the laws, we have received from the Father. Now, you know, they say, we'll keep the commandments of Jesus. Of course, they took the name of Yeshua out and put the word Jesus there instead. But this, the laws, walking in truth, which shows you what truth is, as the Psalm said, your law is truth. That's what the Psalms say. That's the foundation of the prophets. Walking in truth, according to the laws we have received from the Father Yahweh. So this is the truth, and he plainly says it here, where nobody can get out of it or change it. And there's too many copies made of it. But now I plead with you, not as though I wrote any new laws to you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Well, here he goes back now to the word love. This is what fastens us together. This is what binds us. What binds you to me is love. But it's love, not the false love we see advertised on television, but the love we see in keeping Yahweh's laws. Stop. Think. Our young priests can certainly tell you what it means, and they can tell the teachers what it means. Praise Yahweh. The priestess too. You're missing out if you get here late. You're missing out anyway because you're showing Yahweh how rude you can be. But you really need to be on time when you come to Yahweh's house. Watch your step. What's your step when you come to the house of Yahweh? Be on time and be ready to get an answer at Abel. Be more ready to receive than to say, oh, I don't like that. I'm going to go back home. Get here on time and listen to these young priests when they speak to you. You'd be surprised what Yahweh has put in these boys and girls that are bringing the lessons here before the main speakers, that we love. Notice in the beginning, this is the message of Yahweh in the beginning, when he gave the Sabbath day to mankind and says, I'm going to make man in my image. Well, he also started teaching him. The Sabbath was the first step in learning it. Now, notice verse 6. And this is love. This is love, that we walk after his laws. And those are the laws, as you have heard from the beginning, get that, Genesis, as you have heard from Genesis or read from Genesis, you should walk in them. That's exactly what he was teaching at that time, that you should walk in them. The King James Version, let me show you how they twist it just a little, and you can catch them in their own lies. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. Now, they use the word commandments here. Instead of laws, they use the word commandments. But now, pay close attention to the next. This is the commandment. One. This is the commandment right here. First, they can't change this here, the commandments. They know that it means plural laws. They couldn't change the word. They'd get caught at it. But they could the next one, they did, but it doesn't match. You see that? These are the commandments, after his commandments. And this is the commandment. It should have been, these are the commandments, if there's going to translate them commandment. But they translated it, this is the commandment. That as we have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. In it instead of them. Now, this is one of the big lies that they caught, and they say they made a mistake in doing so. Then in verse 7, the King James Version says, many deceivers have entered into the world. Well, that was one of them right there. one of the big deceptions that they falsify in the scripture. From the beginning, you should walk in them. Back to the book of Yahweh, which is translated correctly. These are the laws, plural laws, that you have heard from the beginning, from Genesis. You should walk in them. No getting out of it. This is the foundation of the apostle saying, you've got to walk in these. For many deceivers have gone out teaching you shouldn't walk in these laws. And what did they do? Did Isaiah say in Isaiah 24, 1 through 6? Because you have changed, you've transgressed the laws. You changed the ordinance that tells you how to keep a law. You've changed the statute that tells you about the lambs. Oh, I didn't mean that tells you about the lambs. But if you don't know those ordinances and those statutes, you won't know how to keep that law. And this is what I'm telling you here, and this is what he's saying. Many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that Yahshua Messiah, having begun in the flesh, this is a deceiver and an anti-Messiah. Well, they put it anti-Christ to make you think that if you're not following this God that Constantine gave all of Europe long about the time that Mars came in 800 and something years ago, he was trying to enforce, they were trying to enforce Constantine's law on Europe. You know, he gave that law in 300 and something. Did this changing of the law and the changing of the names in about 300 and something, 1200 and something, they were making the most progress at wiping out the believers. 1600, they made the King James Version, creating the letter J so they could translate it into English. Yes, the letter J, created in 1600 for the purpose of bringing forth a deception. Now, this is how organized this world was in bringing forth. The deceivers he's talking about, brethren, is not a light thing that he's talking about. It's not like somebody standing on a soapbox down in the alley somewhere crying, screaming, you know, the world is going to end. This was a well-planned deception that took place over 6,000 years by Yahweh's permission. By his permission, this was done. Look out for yourselves that you do not lose those things which ye have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Meaning that if you don't hold fast now to what he's talking about, this head, Yahshua being the cornerstone, tying you to the branch, and he's saying the same thing right here, you're going to lose it if you don't follow what he's saying over here, that you learn from the beginning. Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in this doctrine of the Messiah does not have Yahweh, Messiah being the chief cornerstone that we'll get into in the beginning, maybe this coming Sabbath. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine of what? What you think is right? No, don't go after your own thoughts here, brethren. Every man doing what is right in his own eyes, go to the house and let Yahshua tie you to the branch. I'm not trying to lead you wrong. I'm not going to lose my reward. Yahweh says I'm not going to lose it. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not accept him into the house of Yahweh there, nor welcome him. Because if you do, notice, you're as guilty as he is. Shut your mouth. Stop. As the priest said, the young priest tells you, stop, think, go home and really pray, and then decide that Yahweh means what he says. Go to the house. Don't do these things. I've established this house for you in the last days. It's going to bring you salvation. That's what he says. Before that, there was no one to preach it, he said. It will bring you salvation. And his rest, remember this, the rest, the Sabbath, the rest of this man will be glorious. He promises you the rest. That is the Sabbath. The Sabbath. They're going to be very glorious to you because you will learn the way to joy. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services to the next speaker. I love you.